Chapter 15. A Young Lady Recovered. 2 days after Mr. Bennet's return, Jane and Elizabeth came upon their father as they were walking in the woods. He held a letter in his hand.
"Papa, is this news?" cried Elizabeth. "Good or bad?"
"I am not sure, my dear, but perhaps you would like to read it. Read it aloud so that Jane can hear it and tell me her thoughts. I hardly know myself what it is about."
"Gracechurch Street, Monday, August 2nd. My dear brother, at last I am able to send you news about your daughter. Soon after you left me, I was able to find out that they were in a certain part of London. I have already been to see both of them. They are not married, nor is there any hope of making them do so. But if you agree to the arrangements I have made for you, I hope they will marry before long. You must guarantee your daughter her equal share of the £5,000 that has been promised to your daughters after the death of yourself and my sister. Also, you must agree to give her £100 every year as long as you are alive. Mr. Wickham says that he hopes to leave the military and become an officer in the regular army. This he has agreed to do as soon as his marriage is fixed. He has old friends that are both able and willing to help him in the army. General Lambry, who is now based in the north, has promised to place him under his care. There is not the smallest reason for you to come to town again. We think it best that my niece be married from this house. When they are married, they will then move to the north, unless they are first invited to Longbourn. I know that Lydia really wants to see you all before she goes to the north. She is well, and begs that you and her mother remember her. Yours, etc., E. Gardner."
"Have you written an answer to this letter yet, Papa?" Elizabeth asked.
"No, but I must do so soon."
"May we take my uncle's letter to Mother?" she asked.
"Do so,"
he replied.
"I am quite interested in hearing what she has to say."
Elizabeth and Jane went upstairs together. Mary and Kitty were both with Mrs. Bennet, and the letter was read aloud to them. Mrs. Bennet was not disturbed in any way by Lydia's shameful actions. She seemed happy to know that she was to be married.
"My dear, dear Lydia," she cried, "this is delightful indeed. She will soon be married. How I long to see her, and to see dear Mr. Wickham, too. But what about the wedding clothes? Lizzie, my dear, please run downstairs and ask your father how much he will give her for clothes. No, wait, stay, and I will go myself. I will put on my things after a moment. Oh, my dear, dear Lydia, how happy I shall be when we meet."
It had been a fortnight since Mrs. Bennet had left her room and gone downstairs, but she was so happy that she again took her seat at the head of the dinner table. Imagine her horror and surprise when Mr. Bennet refused her requests. He said that he would not receive either Lydia or her husband at Longbourn, and that he would certainly not give any money for wedding clothes. Mrs. Bennet immediately began to argue with Mr. Bennet, but Jane and Elizabeth calmed their father, saying that her marriage should be noticed by the family. At last, Mr. Bennet agreed. As for Mrs. Bennet, she was happy that she would be able to show off her married daughter before Lydia was sent off to live in the north. On the day of their sister's wedding, the family gathered in the living room. Mrs. Bennet was smiling as the carriage drove up to the door. Her husband, however, looked serious and unhappy, and her daughters uncomfortable. Everyone heard Lydia's voice in the hall. Soon the door was thrown open, and she came running into the room. Mrs. Bennet stepped forward, hugged her, and then greeted Wickham with a warm smile. Mr. Bennet remained serious and hardly said a word. Elizabeth found herself disgusted at Lydia's behavior. Lydia was still the same, uncontrolled, noisy, and without fear. Wickham was all smiles and conversation. He seemed no more uncomfortable than his wife.
I had no idea, cried Lydia, that I would be married when I came back, but I often thought it would be good fun if I was. Her good spirits increased as the day went on. She wanted to see all their neighbors and have them call her Mrs. Wickham. After dinner, she went to show her ring to the housekeeper and the maids, boasting about being married. The visitors were to stay for 10 days. Wickham had to join his army in a fortnight, as his orders instructed him to do. Elizabeth knew that his feelings for Lydia were not as much as Lydia's for him. Still, this is what she had expected to find. One morning, Lydia was sitting with her two elder sisters. She turned to Elizabeth and said, "Lizzie, I never did tell you about my wedding. Aren't you curious to hear about it?" "Not really," replied Elizabeth. "I think the less that is said about the subject, the better." "La, you are so strange! But I do need to tell you how it happened. Well, it was Uncle who found us, as I'm sure you know. He found out that we were staying where Wickham used to live in town. When Uncle arrived, he insisted on taking me home. We were going to be married at St. Clement's, and it was finally agreed upon to be there at 11 o'clock. I was in such a worried state, I was so afraid that my dear Wickham would not be there. But when Uncle and I arrived at the church, he was there, looking so handsome, with Mr. Darcy looking very serious beside him." "Mr. Darcy?" repeated Elizabeth. She was quite shocked to hear his name. "Oh, yes, he came there with Wickham, you know. But dear me, how I forgot! What will Wickham say to me now? It was to be a secret. I shouldn't tell you this, but it was really Mr. Darcy who came and found us in London. He made Wickham agree to marry me. At first, Darcy tried to make me leave Wickham and return home to you. I told him that I loved Wickham, and he was the only man for me. In the end, Mr. Darcy went to find Uncle, and the three of them argued to see how much money Wickham should get if he married me." "How much he should have?" said Elizabeth. "Oh, that's so horrible! La, why should you say that? Mr. Darcy's so rich, why shouldn't he make a gift to his father's godson?" "What sort of a deal did they make for you, Lydia?" asked Elizabeth coldly. "Well, Wickham's had debts of more than £1,000. Mr. Darcy agreed to pay these off. Then it was agreed that he would pay Wickham £1,000 to marry me, plus buy him a job in the regular army. But poor Papa can never, ever repay all that money to Mr. Darcy," replied Jane, worried. "He doesn't ever need to know," cried Lydia joyfully. "Mr. Darcy made us promise not to tell anyone." "Then please do not say another word," said Jane quickly. "Please do not tell Wickham I've told you this. He'd be so angry at me. You know, he doesn't like Mr. Darcy." "Do not worry. I won't say a word," said Elizabeth angrily. "You know, Lizzie," said Lydia, "you and Jane should make a trip to Brighton. That really is the place to get husbands." "I'm afraid I don't like your way of getting husbands," Elizabeth replied coldly. She quickly left the room. Lydia's news gave Elizabeth both pain and pleasure. It was painful to know that they could never return Mr. Darcy's favor, that they owed the health of Lydia, her character, everything to Mr. Darcy. Elizabeth knew that he neither respected nor liked Lydia. Something in her heart told her that he had done it for her. The pain was also strong when she realized that he could no longer have any feelings for her. She had already refused his offer, and now she was the sister-in-law of Wickham, whom he hated. There would not be any way to make him want any connection with the family that included Wickham. Elizabeth could hardly bear the rest of Lydia and her husband's visit. When Mr. Wickham said goodbye, he became very charming and smiled, looked handsome, and said many pretty things. Mrs. Bennet was bored for several days after Lydia left. Then news arrived that made her happy once more. Mr. Bingley had returned to Netherfield.